a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy Podcast.
Welcome to the studio, Cameron Ling.
Hello, Tommy. Hello, Log.
Hi.
Great to see you two both. There's another person in the studio, though, to say good day to.
Yes, Kev Mitchell from Jebediah.
Yay. Hello. Described guinea pig man, I think.
Well, we were talking about that before. Yeah. We were talking about the phenomenon of the guinea pig man, and it turns out that I'm looking at Cameron Ling behind you. I think there might be a couple of guinea pig men.
Guinea pig men. All right, here we go. This is our time. It's our time to shine.
I
said I'm waiting for the rise of the thumb man. Then that'll be my moment to seize. Look, hey, awesome to have you in the studio. You're going to be in Torquay on Friday night, hanging up at Torquay Hotel.
Yeah.
Great venue. And, man, they are booking some shows. They've been on fire for like 18 months.
It's going to be bonkers. I think there's literally like 10 or 20 tickets left to that show. So if you're listening, today is probably the day to make a move.
Yeah.
The place is going to be, it's going to be carnage. I'm just going to put the warning out there now.
Well, I can confirm because I saw you guys at Good Things in December.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very impressive. Been a long time since I'd seen you. Yeah. But sort of you guys as a band were part of, I mean, it's 30 years this year.
30 years next year.
Next year, is it? Yes. Sorry, yeah, okay. So going on 30 years, and so sort of my teenage years was, you know, you guys and Living End and Spider Bates and sort of the soundtrack of growing up. So it was a real awesome moment to be there at Good Things and see you guys just still rocking out.
Thank you, yeah.
But like still... Like, you haven't lost a step. You know, athletes lose a step.
Don't point in my direction, thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, in fairness, I mean, we do get to drink at work. and there's not a lot of, like, you know, midweek training sessions going on.
Okay, so cool.
Bit more longevity. We're not punishing ourselves.
We're gentle.
Week,
you know? I can organise some like hot colds early Saturday morning for you after the gig.
Just what we need.
awesome, mate. All right, we're going to kick off our time with you this morning with a song from Jebediah, one of the all-time greats, bit of Leaving Home. On the other side, going to find out what you've been up to. K-Rock.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Joined in the studio by Ocean Grove's own Jebediah lead singer, Kev Mitchell. Sorry, am I allowed to say that?
No, you can. It's been 10, I've been living in Ocean Grove for 10 years. And I was just thinking before, like, does the 10-year mark, does that mean I'm now officially a local?
No.
Because
I know people. Maybe Ocean Grove is different, but in Barwon Heads especially.
Because you've got to be like third generation before you're local.
Yeah, you're not local.
Barwon Heads, I think it's more of a, it's not the years that need to go up, it's the bank account, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
It's a sort of bike. We've had this house.
That's
in
the case I'm becoming less local.
Exactly.
Hey, we were talking before about the fact that you guys have been around for, you know, going on 30 years as a band.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
And we've all got, we off air, we were all telling you stories about the first time we'd heard that song or you know, I had the CD single of that and Loggy's sister brought the album home.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of that? Like, is it in that part of your
Actually,
career?
A lot of sisters brought the album home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that stuff. I mean, because, you know, as we were talking, you know, Cameron before, like, I was 19 years old when that song came out and, you know, so I was a kid, you know, I'd just moved out of home at that, crazily enough, given the name of the song.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I was a kid just, like, fanning out over music as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had posters on my wall and, like, you know, it was a really exciting time because very quickly we were, you know, playing festivals with bands that just like 12 months before I was going to see them, you know,
like
buying their CDs and stuff. And then next minute, you know, we're sharing stages and stuff with them. So it was a brilliant time and just can't believe how much we got away with that at such a young age.
in the music industry like that, when you're coming onto the scene and you're playing those festivals with the bands you love, is there an element that do they bring you under their wing a little bit, or is it like, nah, we're going to crush these young guys, don't let them anywhere near us? What's the vibe like?
Look, I got to say it was really good, which meant a lot to me at the time because I, again, being so young, like, and being a fan of, you know, bands like UMI, Spiderbait, Regurgitator, Magic Dirty Little, sort of that sort of era of bands that came just before us. Like, you know, I really wanted to be accepted, right? You know, there was a, not that I was going around saying that, but in my head, you know, it's just like wanted to be part of the gang. And yeah, luckily that happened. It really did. Yeah. And it was a very supportive, you know, a very supportive kind of scene. And especially at things like Big Day Outs and stuff, those festivals where, you know, you had international bands everywhere. The Australian bands really kind of not grouped together, because that sounds like we were kind of separate, but we all kind of got on. Yeah, we all kind of got on. Yeah, and I think there was like a genuine kind of connection between everybody in terms of just being like that under, you know, Australian, being the underdog, and not, and we used to tease anybody who acted like a rock star. That wasn't, it wasn't cool. Whereas I think for a lot of bands coming from overseas and stuff, acting like a rock star was kind of considered to be cool. Lots of people did. So there's a different mentality, and I think that's what kind of that era anyway. It's probably, it could be different now, but of that era, I think that's what kind of grouped everybody together and made us kind of bond.
Yeah. It was awesome growing up and seeing Vanessa Thornton, your bass player, and looking to her, because there weren't many, if any, female, you know, like females in groups, let alone bass players.
Rock chicks. Were
And so growing up with that, I just have to say it was so cool, because I played a few instruments and I tried my hand at bass, and it was just like, look at her, she's up there. And so did you know, obviously, the effect that had at the time, which is like now it's just like, you know, whatever. I guess women still are fighting, you know, to lead festivals and things like that. Yeah, but your group was just so cool in that aspect as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love hearing that. I don't think at the time we did really, I think, realise it more now.
Yeah.
And it is still a very male-dominated industry, but it's gotten a hell of a lot better in the last 30 years. But, yeah, I love hearing those stories too. And yeah, at the time, you know, we were so young and we didn't really, we were really naive, right? So our sort of conception or idea about what the world was like was, we just thought that was how the world was, right? And it wasn't, it's not until you get older that, and you start realizing, oh, hang on, maybe it's not what I thought it was. And so you get older and you realize, oh, wow, okay, you know, having a female bass player, a woman in the band was really powerful and influential, and probably a big reason why the older sisters were bringing the records home to their younger siblings and all that kind of stuff. Like, but you know, you had Janet from Spiderbait before us, and there were others sort of blazing that trail, I suppose. And yeah, you know, you just kind of hope that the women like Vanessa and Janet that kind of blazed that trail in the '90s or whatever, hopefully have kind of made it better for girls who are getting into the music industry now. Look, like I said, from my perspective, it looks like it is a much more inclusive industry than it was 30 years ago. So that can only be a good thing.
All right, we're joined in the studio by Kev Mitchell from Jebediah. They're hitting the Torquay Hotel this Friday night. As we were saying, 15, 20, probably five by now, given that, we've been talking for a little bit.
You
got to jump online and grab them. we're going to get you to hang around, if that's cool, because we're going to play a little game with you shortly. K-Rock.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Now, we're here with Kev Mitchell from Jebediah,
hello,
Ocean Grove's own. You guys have released a 6 studio album, Oiks. Is that how you pronounce it?
Well done, yep.
Yeah, we were like, maybe they meant to say oi. And
or
then it was
oinks.
Like,
oinks, yeah. Some people have said, some people have thought it was oinks. No, there's no N. There's no pig related.
Orcs, maybe?
Yeah. But you started the music pre-pandemic, took a bit of a break, and then released it after the pandemic. Any changes physically or mentally in that time?
Oh, jeez, yeah.
That are reflected on this album?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There sure were some changes. You know, I won't go into all the gruesome details, but 2018 was when we kind of got together with no songs. We just went into the studio and set up and started sort of jamming, and everything was going really well. This is over in Perth too, by the way. Two of the members of Jebs are still in Perth.
Yeah.
And then, of course, 2020 hit, and for 2 years we couldn't get into WA at all. So just put the whole thing on hold, and then had to kind of reconvene after that and try and finish it off. Fortunately, most of the kind of work had been done, so, you know, it wasn't too bad. But yeah, it just took a really long time. And I mean, it was just, I mean, look, I don't know, people don't want to talk about, a lot of people don't really want to talk about the COVID times, do they? But yes, it was because we could play live for 2 years and the record was, for a while there, I was kind of thinking, I wasn't sure if this record was ever even going to be finished. There was a time of real uncertainty of like, well, is the industry ever going to even come back? So I guess I've been feeling like when we've been on this tour and playing shows that we are celebrating the record of this record, Oikes, but we're also kind of just celebrating still just playing shows, you know, just after 30 years and still having a fan base that is still stuck with us. And the fact that we can go to somewhere like the Torquay Hotel this weekend and fill it out after 30 years, you know, we're very, very lucky.
Yeah.
Very, very lucky.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get into another song. On the other side, we're going to ask you to play Geelong, the Surf Coast and the Bellarines' favourite Tuesday bass game. We play it every Tuesday. It's called Guess the Year. You might be able to guess how it works, but if not, I'll give you a quick rundown during this song. We're joined in the studio by Jebediah lead singer Kev Mitchell. They're playing Torquay Hotel this Friday. Get your tickets, jebediah.net.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Speaking of friends, we've got Kev Mitchell from Jebediah in the studio. Mate, we're going to play this.
Guess the year.
Hey, all right. Now, it gets a bit confusing if we have four people trying to shout out years.
Yep.
So I'm going to ask you to play on my behalf this morning.
Rightio.
Seems unfair.
It does seem a bit unfair.
Why? What?
Well, because...
Music guy?
Music guy. Going to dominate. You're leading at the moment,
Tommy. Why
doesn't
he play for himself? And then we can note that on the official scorecard. And at the end of the year, he can be included in the...
What about at the end of the year, like whoever comes last gets my points.
It could be the random...
It's too many layers.
No, it's not. It's just enough layers. I think we can...
All right, what we're going to do is play little bits of songs, cast our minds back through the mist of time, try and remember where we were, what we were doing the first time we heard that song.
Like what trauma... we were crying in a nightclub, maybe.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. Teenage tears. So that'll give us a fair indication as to the year it was released. We write that year down on a piece of paper, closest to without going over in the traditional Price is Right fashion.
Love you, Larry.
Best of three arrangement. I think we're ready to play. Is everybody ready?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, question number one. Guess the year. What year did this come out? Cameron Ling's wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Is it though?
Do you know this one?
Who is that?
Billy Joel.
Stop it.
I'm having a guess here. I'm having a straight up guess.
How you feeling about that one, Kim?
I'm guessing as well.
Do you know who it is?
Is it the Black Sorrows?
I believe it is. I
believe it's the Black Sorrows.
All right. Okay.
All right, I've got mine.
You got yours written down,
Kev? I'm not even close.
Hang on. I'm just late change.
Okay.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
1988.
93.
And you said 94.
85.
No, you said 95.
I said 85.
It's legit. It's written.
85? Okay, cool. All right, here we go. Let's find out.
The year was 1988.
Oh, spot on.
Log. All right, that's 1 point to Log. We're away. Guess the year with Kev Mitchell from Jebediah. Question number two.
When is this?
I'm sure you did some damage to this song, Kev.
I mean, that just immediately takes me back. Well, I'm pretty sure I was in high school when this song came out, but for some reason it takes me back to, like, you know... Balinese nightclubs.
Just a Malibu and pineapple drink or something.
Majuri Illusions.
All right, the less said the better. Okay, everybody got a year written down?
Yeah.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
1992.
125. Let's find out.
The year was
1994.
That's me.
You got it again.
Yeah, all right. So two out of three, that is a win for Log.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Should we do one more for pride?
Yeah, let's do one more.
All right, here we go. What year did this come out?
I can be your hero, baby.
Okay.
Enrique?
So I danced this song with my dad at my deb.
Oh. Okay. Was that because your dad was your dad?
No, I had an actual date. His name was Steve Austin, and okay?
Stone Cold.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And
like the Million Dollar Man or whatever.
I knew, well, you were going to say Deb, because it definitely wasn't your wedding. Because that is not going to happen.
No, come on.
No, you'll get there eventually, babe. She's been engaged for sort of good 10 years. Have we all written something down?
No, not yet. Okay, all right.
I have. I'm not feeling confident about this at all, though.
All right. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
1999.
99.
Oh.
99,
96. And what did you say?
99.
Oh, 99. Okay, here we go.
The year was 2002.
Oh, oh Loggy with the clean sweep. Well done, mate.
Victory. That doesn't happen. So I'm so glad that I've left you with this aura of being good at stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was way under at every single one.
Don't worry, we'll tell everyone. It's up on your Wikipedia page now.
Yeah. Although, you know, not knowing when that last song came out, there's no shame in it.
You're okay with that.
No shame in that.
Hey, so awesome to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
And we're very proud to call you Ocean Grove Geelong's own. We're excited. Friday night at the Torquay Hotel, Magic Dirt will be joining Jebediah for the Oiks album tour. Congratulations on an awesome album as well. And we'll
have to
get you in again real soon.
Thanks, guys.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
I understand that relationships can be work at times.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it can be magnificent and wonderful. Perhaps this one fits more in the work side of things.
Okay.
Saturday night, I was working on Channel 7, covering the Melbourne GWS Giants game, live at the MCG.
I'll allow it.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate that, Tommy.
He works 7 days a week.
He is a very busy man.
I was working away, and, I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, but let's round figures generally. Free to air Friday night or Saturday night. It's about 800,000 to 1 million people watching at home.
And you look really good on TV.
Oh, thanks, Lyle.
When I see you, I'm like, look at him.
Oh,
bless.
I got a good pump up from my wardrobe the week before.
Is that why you stole all the wardrobe?
Well, you know, I like to steal some wardrobe from Channel 7. I've got to get a hold of that one.
Yeah.
Lots of pump ups for that one. But yeah. I'm just about to go on it. Like, we're in the countdown sort of thing. And I get a message from my wonderful wife, Dodsy. And she knows, like, I work. That's where I happen to be. I'm on live television. Mm. So she knows, like, just. You know, maybe not so much on the messaging or calling at that stage.
You're probably a little bit otherwise indisposed.
Yeah. So if I see something come up, straight away I think, oh, hang on, could be her or the kids.
Emergency.
You haven't chatted about that before? Like,
well, generally if she rings, it's a proper emergency. But a text message is enough for me to catch my eye, like, okay.
I text you sometimes during the broadcast too. Sorry.
Yeah, he never replies to us.
No, I know, and that's fine. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. But when her name came up, I straight away thought, oh, wow, okay, I just got to check this, even though we're in the final sort of 5-4.
Yeah.
The message that I received from my wonderful wife, as I'm about to go live to, let's just exaggerate a little and say 1 million people.
Sure.
Yeah.
So when you unpack the dishwasher, you've put the saucepans away wrong in the pot drawer, and now the drawer is blocked and can't be opened.
Well, I say that's worth a message.
That is pretty
really?
Annoying.
Really?
It's pretty annoying.
It is so annoying.
Do you know what I replied?
Right.
As calmly as I possibly can. Can you reach in and maybe push a pot down and jiggle it and open it?
Wow, that's really explanatory, Matt. You did actually a good job there.
You did. I would have been not so nice.
It won't open and has nowhere to be pushed to, is her reply. I wrote back, you might have to be firm with it. She wrote back, what do you mean so it breaks? I'm like, no, don't break the drawer. Just be firm. And at this stage, I'm actually live on television. We've gone to another little tape piece quickly. Yeah. And I thought, well, enough's enough. I've been about as patient as I'm prepared to be. So I'm going to send the most condescending, dripping with sarcasm text I could possibly muster at the time.
Cameron.
And just said, you can fix it. I believe in you.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Huge, 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 huge day yesterday. And I'm not overselling it. This is not Tom ate a footlong sub territory. This is
not Tom got a dryer.
No, this is bigger than that, mate. Oh, my God. This is like I had to sit down and just have a moment because I was like, oh, wow.
Can we weigh in on this? Like,
you want to guess what it is?
In a humorous way, or are we going to be found out to be like making inappropriate jokes?
No, there won't be. There won't be any inappropriateness. It's fine. You can.
Oh, which means it's not real.
Yeah. Which means most people listening right now, including Login, I don't care.
This is
real, but you may not believe it's real. Put it this way.
You saw a ghost?
You may not believe that this could possibly happen.
Okay.
Everybody ready?
What? I see that little face. No one else can see this face. That is the face of a cheeky monkey.
So, we're going to a gala ball in just over a month's time. Friend and me, charity, friend of the show, right?
Nice.
I'm hosting.
Oh,
with Sarah Marie, my old co-host.
Oh, bless. Yeah. That's so cute.
And Carla is also coming along and she'll be a guest there. And so we're getting ourselves prepped outfit-wise.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to go back to an old Radio Awards outfit that I wore once.
Are you sure? Because I feel like you'll be on stage and this is your opportunity to really shine, which you don't allow yourself to do normally.
No.
By wearing like a full sequined
number.
You should put yourself out there more.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. I did look at sort of material that goes see-through under lights.
Okay, yeah.
But that did seem like a lot of effort. So
Friend of Me is like a children's charity, isn't it?
You're right, yes. Yep. Now that you say that, that's probably I made the right move.
Yeah, you did.
No, I'm going to go. The theme is Romeo and Juliet, and I'm going to go like with a white jacket, black pants, like chino sort of suit pants and like a red sort of flower rosy thing in my lapel.
Given this is the greatest thing that's allegedly ever happened to you, I feel like you're burying the lead here by
I'm setting the scene. Hang on. No, because
I'm let painting. Him paint.
Let me paint.
Let him paint. It takes a while, but he gets there.
I'll cut off my ear. Okay. So Carly is where she's got a dress, a gown, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call it.
She's so gorgeous.
Yeah. So hers is a two-piece and it's sort of like a – I'll have to show you a picture. You'll love it. But she ordered it online. It's white and it's sort of like a top that's like a
– Why are you pressing
boob tubey sort of thing with straps.
Yeah.
Right. And then bare midriffy bit and then a skirt that goes down to this like floofy and it's going to be – yeah, so white. Yeah?
She'll look
so
way better gorgeous. Than you.
She tried it on. I was like, you cannot wear that to a wedding. That's not a wedding. I mean, it is a wedding dress. But anyway, So she ordered that online.
Mm.
Now, she's got form for not trying things on until sort of there's about 20 minutes before you have to leave. Like,
really?
She just hates trying this stuff. But she tried this one on and she opened the bag and she got a dress, the skirt out. And she's like, look at this. All right, cool. And she's whacked it on. And then she's like, oh, my God, they haven't set the top of the dress. It's not here.
Oh.
Hang on, let me check my order online. No, it says I bought it. So she's emailed them like, oh God, guys, you haven't. And so they've got back to her pretty quickly and said, hey, have you checked? There's like a shipping note inside your bag.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I looked in the bag. I watched her like, quick look in the bag, keep moving. And so we're like, oh man, they've stuffed up. There's no shipping note and this is going to be a wrangle. We're going to have to go back and forth with the company to get this top, the other half of this gown that she's wearing, this dress. And so we're like, well, looking around, and then she goes, yeah, it's just I can't find this con note. And I walk into the walk-in robe, and I pick up the bag, and I open it properly.
Oh, properly. Oh.
And I look inside, and I find not only the shipping note, but the top as well. I found something that she had looked for and didn't see. You got to understand, this is huge.
No, I know, because she had a boy look.
Yes! Yeah. I do it every day. I hear about it and it's like, oh my God. And I was like, oh my God, I was shaking. I had to sit down. I was jumping around. I was cheering.
And did Kalia concede?
Yes, she was very proud of me.
Oh.
I was like, I'm sorry about it. This is a real moment for me. And she's like, this is what it feels like every day.
Well, Tom, you know what? I didn't have faith, but my God, I'm looking at you differently.
I know, right? Huge. Huge. I found something that she had previously looked for and couldn't find.
You don't hear that often.
Husband of the year.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
I just want to give you an insight into the family chat. Happens on Messenger. We've got one with the cousins, first cousins, and some of the aunties are in there too, which is great, and some of the cousins' children in there too. Anyway, I have a very beautiful family and it's always fun when we catch up and we have a good time, and we did just that at my cousin Amanda's 18th birthday on the weekend in Werribee. Yeah. And a very happy birthday to Amanda. It was great. They had a house party, heaps of food. They had the backyard fire set up and also a bit of a disco area. Mm-hmm. They had one of these speakers that has lights, but it's also got this ability to press buttons on it and kind of sound like you're scratching a record.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really cool, right?
Okay.
Anyway, so my cousin Damien and his wife Alex have two children, and one of them is Harry, right? Mm. And Harry loves dancing. He was on the DJ speaker and he just kept pressing that button like whoop, 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 right? And he was doing this amazing dancing and everything. And then got a message yesterday from Damien, my cousin, in the group. He said, "Hey peeps, I have a funny story to share from the drive home." On the drive home, Alex and I, Alex is his wife, were chatting to Harry, his son, about the birthday party and who he spoke to and if he had fun, etc. Because they live over in the Mornington area, right?
Sorry, how
had a bit of a drive.
How old's Haz?
Oh, see, I knew you were going to ask that and I don't know.
Give us a rough heart.
Mid-teens?
No. 20s. I'd say, I don't know, I'd say maybe 11.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Right. Damn,
that's
I don't
fine.
Know.
Fine, no, it doesn't matter.
Around
cares.
That era, yeah. Right? He said Harry said that he had lots of fun, spoke to the boys outside about a potato gun. He had lots of fun dancing. I had lots of fun dancing with my cousins and the music speaker thing was really cool too. And Damien said, you know, your auntie Lauren is a DJ. She could teach you how to mix songs.
Ah.
And Harry said, yeah, I know, Mum, because you can do this and that and you can push these buttons and it makes these sounds. But can I tell you something funny? You know that man, Auntie Lauren's partner? And they said, oh, Uncle James. I said, yeah. At one point, Uncle James went to pick up the speaker and dance with it. And Auntie Lauren gave him, you know, the look. And then he put it down. And so everyone's like, the look. And then my sister Kim's like, yeah, we're familiar with the look.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955, weekday mornings from 6.